Good morning, church.
Morning.
Let's see, the clock says 10 minutes of 11. What's my speaking time, Jeff? Can I go to 1, 2? Before I get started, one of the things we ought to be doing is praying, and I'd like to start us off with a little prayer, if you mind. Father, I lift up my brothers and sisters here today, Father. Father, you know the hearts of each and every one of us. You know those who come here with a broken heart, and you know those who come here needing to crawl up in your arms, Father, and just be ministered to today, Father. And that would be my prayer for those folks, that you might do that for them this day. And there are those that are here that have financial needs, and those that are here that have medical needs. And Father, we know that you know all of our needs. You know the yesterdays, todays, and the tomorrows. You know what's going to happen. Father, we're counting on you. And we give this day and this time to you, Father. I pray that you'd minister to each and every one of my brothers and sisters as their need would be presented. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before I go into the message, we have a celebrity in here today, a gold medal winner, John from soccer. I want to talk with you today about a tool Satan uses, which is very effective. It's used on young people, it's used on old people, and it's used on those in between. Most of the time, we are unaware of its effectiveness. He uses it to steal our joy and separate us from God. He uses it to water down our witness and create doubt in our faith. That tool is subtle, and we discount its importance almost all the time. That tool is called worry. And God has a great deal to say about it in His Word. In fact, there are over 70 verses in the Bible that talk about the issue of worry. We don't think much about worry. I know I don't think much about worry, and yet I do a lot of worrying. We're going to find out how much worrying you do in just a minute. So pay attention. Here's a question for you all. By a show of your hands, keep in mind you're in church, all right? By a show of your hands, how many of you have worried about something in the last week? All right, let's try that again. By a show of your hands, how many of you have worried about something last week? Yeah, okay, good. So we're all in the same little pool together. How many of you have worried about something yesterday? Almost the same amount of people. How about this morning when you got up? Till now, still people in there that are worried about stuff. So worry is an important subject, but the thing that I find interesting about worry is we do a lot of worrying. Satan uses that tool to discourage us, and yet I don't consciously think that much about worry. I don't get up each morning and say, gee, I wonder how much worrying I should do today. Oh my, I don't have enough worry in my list of things to worry about today. I better turn the TV on. That'll fill me up with worry. That would be the truth. Question for you, how many of you feel your life would improve if you were to spend more time worrying? Isn't that funny that nobody feels that their life would improve, and yet each and every one of us, myself included, spend a big amount of our day, a big amount of our time doing what? worrying. It's important that we take a look at that, a hard look at that, because it's important we look at what we worry about, why we worry, and how to limit our worrying. Keep in mind, worrying is not from God. Worrying is from Satan. And you think about the times that you've worried when you should be witnessing and you should be counting your blessings, and yet you've been counting your worries. So I just want us to really focus on that today. And if you look in your bulletin, you'll find a lot of scriptures in there about worry, and you'll find some questions for you to answer after the service about the issue of worry. I was thinking about, what is it we worry about? Well, today, a big subject we worry about is our government. We all feel they're doing such a great job, and yet we... And yet we worry about what's going on. We worry about money. We worry about health issues. We worry about work issues. We worry about relationships. We worry about possessions. We worry about criticism of others. And as I said before, when you think of all those things, if you run out of things to worry about, just turn the TV on. The TV will tell you your house isn't big enough, you don't have the right car, your skin colors, you need to use some makeup on your skin, you ladies need to buy new dresses, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're overweight. All the things that we can worry about. And yet, what do? We go to the TV to turn it on. We must want to build up our quotient of worries. I'm guilty of that. These things that I'm talking to you about, I'm talking to you about them because I'm guilty of them. In Luke 21:34, God has a suggestion for us. He says, take heed to yourself, lest your heart be weighed down with the cares of this world. Take heed to yourself, lest your heart be worn down with the cares of this world. Here are some worrisome facts about the effect worry has on the human body. Over 25 million people have high blood pressure, in part caused by stress and worry. 8 million people have ulcers. Every week, 112 million people take medications for stress and worry related issues. Americans consume 4 and 1 million pounds of aspirin last year. Page 3. A study was done, Barna did a study of the things that we worry about. And I want you to pay attention to this and think about the things that you worry about. 60% of the worries that we have were unfounded. What that means is that these things that we choose to worry about, 60% of them never come to pass. And yet we choose to worry about them. 22% are behind us in the past. That 22% of things that happened in the past, it didn't go exactly like we thought they should go, so we feel like we have to attach some worry to them, and we do, when what we should be doing is digging a hole in the ground and burying them. So between those two, we've got 82% of the things that we worry about. 7% are petty and don't make any difference anyways. 6% are real fears that we can actually do something about. So if you are a math student here today, 6% of all that we worry about, we could really make a change. I'd like you to etch that in your mind so the next time Satan encourages you to worry, and I bet if you think about the times that you've worried, I bet you never thought, oh, I'm worrying. You just do it. He sneaks in on you, and you just do it. You just worry, worry, worry. We live in America, the home of worry. But I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the effect of worry not only on you, but the effect of worry on those that you encounter. Because you're a Christian, right? That 6%, which are real worries, we can deal with that later. But the other items on there, the 60% that are unfounded, the 22% that are in the past, the 7% that are petty worries. Let me give you an example of a petty worry. I was thinking about this. I'll use my wife as an example. Yeah, I got the mic. Let's say, this is hypothetical. Okay, it didn't really happen, but this is hypothetical. Let's say my wife decided she wanted to buy a new dress for this Sunday. So on Thursday, all you women are wearing a little smile on your face. I see that. This Thursday, she decided, I'm going over to the mall on Saturday, and I'm going to get myself a new dress, so hopefully I can find a new dress. Kim, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Speak right out in a loud voice anytime you hear me say the word worry, okay? All right? You're going to count them, 1, 2, 3, 4. This is just over a dress. It's Thursday. My wife wants to go out to the mall on Saturday to buy a new dress. She's worried that we might not have enough money for her to get a dress. Saturday comes. She goes over to the mall to buy a dress. She's worried that she might not be able to find the right dress for Sunday. And then she finds a dress that she really loves, and she's worried that when she gets to church on Sunday, or when she gets home, rather, she'll encounter me, and I might think that she paid too much for it, and she worries about that. Now we fast forward to Sunday. She gets up in the morning, gets all dressed up for church, all excited, because she tried a dress on in the store, she thought it looked good. She tries it on Sunday morning, and a miraculous thing happened sometime during the night on Wednesday night. That dress somehow seemed to have shrunk a little bit. So she's now worried that she's not going to look good in that dress. So what does a wife do when her dress doesn't fit? She calls on her husband, the resident expert on women's clothing. I never understood that. Why do you call on your husband for your clothing? So she calls on her husband, the resident expert on ladies' clothing, and he comes into the bedroom, and she says, "Honey, I have a question for you." And you know what the question is? "Honey, do I look fat in this dress?" And Cindy and I have been married 53 years, so I know the answer to that question without ever looking at the dress. But she's worried as to what I might think of the dress. That's sex. So then, after I try to come up with an answer, I'm worried that I might not come up with the right answer, and I'm worried because I'm going to lie in front of God. So the dress, she tries it on, she's got it on, and I do see that it looks a little tight, but I'm not going to say that to her, right? Or I'd be worrying about So anyways, that dress is not exactly right, but it's good. You know, it's good. And I got to come up with an answer. Does it make her feel fat? So I say to her, "Well, honey, I love the color of that dress. That has a nice line about it. Has a really nice line about it. Really is good." And I've just told her a couple more lies because I actually know nothing about dress or clothing. So she gets in the car. We head off to church. On the way to church, what is she going to do? She's going to worry about what people at church think of her, what people think of her new dress. So the moral of this story is that we can worry about infinitesimal things. And we do that Because that's, while I said that story was made up, it's very much like us to behave in that fashion. We almost, if we didn't know better, we would almost think that we like to worry. This is just a dress. It's just a dress. Falls in the category of 7% of petty things. Don't worry about it. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Let's take a look at how Jesus wants us to live our lives and handle worry and stress. Do we have that put on the board, on the screen? I'm worried that we might not have it. It's Matthew 6, 25 through 34. You all know this series of verses. You've heard them a million times before. For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink or your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather any barn into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than them? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to your life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like he did these. Is there one more? But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear for clothing. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and for your heavenly Father knows what you need of these things. But seek first your kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's a good directive. I think that's a series of verses that we've all know and we've read and we have in our hearts, and yet we still find a way to worry. In these verses, God reminds us what a waste worry is and what little faith we demonstrate when we worry. He reminds us that he is well aware of what our needs are and how futile it is to worry about tomorrow. Here's four reasons not to worry. It's dangerous to our health. We talked about that before. Worry minimizes your effectiveness. Corrie Ten Boom says, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Worry demonstrates a distrust of faith in God. It does not actually accomplish anything. Philippians 4:6 holds the key to change the worry habit. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. I want to back up a little bit to item number 3, worry demonstrates a distrust of faith in God. When you think about the things that you worry about, you probably would like to say, Lord, I wish I had more faith. I wish I could just trust you. And that's kind of the life journey for a Christian, is to learn to trust God more. Because there's a direct relationship between trusting God and worry. When we worry, our trust in God goes down. When we trust in God, our worry goes down. I'm sure some of you might know some old saints in this church or a church that you've been in before, and you just love those old saints because they are people who don't seem to worry about anything. They seem to, everything that happens, they just look at God and His grace and His mercy, and that's their life. And they're old saints that we admire, and we wish that we could be just like them. But it seems to take a long time for us to learn to trust God. I think it's neat that God puts in His Word every promise that He ever had, He's got written in His Word for us. And I told you how many times He references this issue of worry. God knows that destroys our witness. When you are worried about every little thing in life, and then you go out and you try to witness to people, what do you think their response is? Hey, they're a Christian, they're no different than I am. You know, I worry about the world, I worry about everything. And they worry about everything too. So worry is a destructive thing that Satan uses to quell our zeal, I'll say. It's time for me to sit down. This chair, by the way, is Nancy's husband's chair when he was pastoring. Nancy was nice enough to let me use that chair. Thanks. Let me see if I can get to that stool. See, this is a three-step message. I go from standing to stool to seat. By 2 o'clock, I'll be seated. I want to tell you a little story about an old lady that lived in the woods. Sounds like a child story, doesn't it? This old lady lived not really in the woods, but in off the road, I'll say. She lived back in the woods, and she never had any water. She never had any power. She had a daughter that was always very concerned about her because at night she used kerosene lanterns to read by. And then their daughter found out one day that CMP was going to be putting some power poles down in her area. And she got all excited about it. She went to tell her mother about it, and her mother wasn't very excited about it. She said, you know, I've read by lantern all these years. I don't see any need for power poles. And anyway, her daughter was kind of disappointed, and there's another 6 months before anything happened. Finally, one day, CMP showed up with these long poles. They started drilling holes in the ground with their augers and putting the poles in the ground, and then they started running the wires. And there were three houses on this street, and she was one of them. When they got to her house, they had the wires run on top of the pole, and they put the wires, hooked them up to her house, and hooked her up with power. Their daughter thought she'd be really surprised and really excited about that. And a little time went by, and she got hooked up with CMP, and her daughter was responsible for paying her bills. And about 5 months went by, and her daughter noticed there was really very few charges by CMP, almost like she wasn't even using the power. And so her daughter went to talk to her, and she said to her daughter, you know, I never have had any power. I've never had any wires run into my house. I've never had any connection, and I really am not interested in having it now. And I thought, how much like us is that really? There's a power source sitting out there called Jesus Christ, and yet we don't plug into it. We want to go on our own. We want to do it all by ourselves. We want to do it without Jesus. And that's the way some of us are. But we're not all like that. Some of us have learned to count on Jesus for every single thing. We see the power and we want to connect into the power, unlike her. And so that might be something for you to think about. Are you connecting into the power? And in the area of prayer, prayer is very important to me. There are three verses that, if you know me, you've heard me say before, and you probably can repeat them back to me. They're in Thessalonians chapter 5, and they say, be joyful always. These are good verses to memorize because they're short. That's why I like them so much. Even I can remember them. They are this: be joyful always, one verse. Pray continually, second verse. What's verse number three? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. Verse number three is a little longer, a little hard to remember, but think of those three verses. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's wish for you in Christ Jesus. Can we do any one of those three things if we're full of worry? Can we be joyful always and be full of worry? No. Can we pray continually and be full of worry? No. Can we give thanks in all circumstances and be filled with worry? That's a little tougher one, isn't it? But can we be thankful in all circumstances? You know, as your relationship with Christ grows, you will find that you will be able to be thankful in all circumstances, no matter what your health condition is, no matter what is going on with you, no matter the broken heart that you feel today. God knows what it is. He'll mend it and heal it and make you new for tomorrow. Why does he do that? He doesn't want you to worry, and he loves you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with love and kindness, I have drawn you. Every morning when you wake up, your day would go much better. I've heard Pam comment on this 100 times about how much better her day goes when she has the time to pray in the morning. Prayer is worth your time. You've heard people say, I pray, and a peace that surpasses all understanding overtook me. And that might be foreign to you. You might say, I've heard that, but I don't understand it. I never had peace that surpasses all understanding. I would say to you, probably the reason that is because you're really not trusting God. I don't want to be critical. I guess I do want to be critical. Now, I don't want to really be critical, but you and I can both feel that peace that surpasses all understanding. But we can only do that if we're going to trust God. I used to run a prayer meeting in the old church I was in. And I was surprised in a church, in prayer meetings, how few people come for prayer. It's the most important thing that we could do, and yet there's so few people that will come for prayer. And I can only attest that perhaps the reason for that is they don't really understand the power of prayer. They really don't understand that when I come before my Lord and Savior and I bring forth my issues, we can leave it with him, and we can relax. Remember how God tells us my burden is light? It's not light when you're carrying all the cares of the world. It's not light then. But it will be light if we can learn to trust God enough to leave the issues at his feet. How many times do you see folks that come into a church, could be our church or any church, and you say to them, how are you today? And about 90% of the time, people say, oh, I'm good. But they're really not good. They're carrying a world of hurt, a world of pain, a world of problem. But It was their intention to come to the church and leave their burdens at the cross, to leave the burdens at the altar. That was their intention when they left home. They've been carrying them all week long. They want to leave them at the altar. And they do that until the service is over. And then they get up to leave, and they start out the door, and they turn around. Tell me if this might apply to you. They turn around and say, oh, wait a minute, I forgot something. I forgot my burdens. I got to go pick them up and take them home with me and hug them and hold them and worry about them a little bit more. And if I do that, certainly God will recognize that and he will take my burdens away. How many times has Dick Hunt had things to pray about? And he's gone before the Lord and he's said, Lord, here's the issue. Well, God really already knows the issue, but he wants to hear me say it. Lord, here's my issue. And I leave it with him, thinking what a holy guy I am. And then 2 hours later, I pick the burden back up. Does that sound familiar to you? We put our burdens down, and then we pick them back up. We worry and put our burdens down, then we pick them back up. And folks who don't know Jesus see that. They see that Dick is worried about the condition of the world. They see that Dick is worried about some of the same things they're worried about. But what if the people we witnessed to saw Dick come through with a smile on his face, being joyful always? What if people saw Dick come through and saw him praying continually? When I say praying continually, I mean you always say after work and you can't be sitting at the wheel of your car going down the road praying. You have to, when praying continually means that throughout the day you see all kinds of issues, you see people in need and you pray for them. You see things going on that need God's attention and you pray for it. And then the last thing you've got to do as a Christian is the most important witnessing tool. Joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. God has told us that in this world we'll have trouble. But take heart, for I've overcome the world. Be thankful in all circumstances. For I know that God will take care of all circumstances. I know God loves me. And I know if I've got some issues that need his attention, he'll take care of it for me. I had a situation in my... Have I run over? I'm close. I've had a situation with my health, where I have Parkinson's and I have a disease called acute demyelinating neuropathy. The Parkinson's attacks the muscles, the neuropathy attacks the nerves. And in due time, the end result might be different than we'd like to think it was going to be, but it doesn't matter really to me. But I had at my therapy session, I was working on walking. And when I was working on walking, my therapist said, Dick, on Thursday, I've got a woman coming who wants to talk to you because she deals with people that have these two conditions together, and she wants to talk with you. She's been doing it for about 8 years. She came on Thursday. I didn't know what she wanted with me, really. And I was doing my walking, and she walked in, she watched me, and then after it was over, she came up to me, and she said, I wanted to tell you something, Dick. I've been watching you, and I came here specifically to see you. I came here because I've been doing this for 8 years, and I don't have one patient, not even one, that's gotten out of the wheelchair. And I see you walking back and forth. What What do you attribute that to? And I had the answer. And he is the answer. He can do whatever he wants to Dick Hunt, as far as I'm concerned. I'm going to trust him through the whole journey, all the way to the end. And he surrounded me by people that love me, and a family that loves me, and a wife that cares for me like I'm something special. And God supplied all of those. So I'm very thankful. Thankful for you to listen to me. But most of all, don't worry. Be happy. God's got a plan for you. And with that, I'm going to ask Pastor Brian if he would close in prayer for me.